Thank the Lord that we can calmly rest in the Lord this morning. Very thankful that we can look to Him in all of our battles and struggles, that there is a place of refuge in the Lord Jesus. Title of the message this morning is Now is the Accepted Time. I'd like to begin reading in the book of 2 Corinthians. And the Lord began speaking to me about a message out of 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 2. And as I began to study and look to the Lord, when you study the Bible, you have to take things in context, right? That's the right way to study the Bible. There's a lot of people that take things out of context, and they'll just take one or two verses and pick and choose. But you have to take context, and it really gives the Scripture greater meaning. Now, it was the translators that placed the Bible for ease of finding things in chapters and verses, okay? So that was not in the original. So when you are studying the Scripture, it's important to not always just, well, this was this verse, so the next verse is something different. That was the translator's way of separating the Word of God. And so sometimes you have to read the verses above or the verses below to get the context of what's being talked about. The same thing applies to chapters. So here I was all studying chapter 6 and came to the recognition that to understand chapter 6, I really needed to move back into chapter 5 for a few verses. So if you will turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 17, and I imagine that many of you could quote 2 Corinthians 5:17 by heart. The Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So let's just start with that 17th verse. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he was reminding them that if you are followers of Christ, everything will become new to you. We're not the same people that we used to be. We don't live like we used to. We're not bound by the sin that we used to be bound with. And that was a message of hope. This was not ever intended to be a message of bondage, but it was a message of hope that Paul was writing to the congregation at Corinth. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. In other words, Christ has enabled us and done for us what we are not able to do for ourselves. And when we find there are things in our life that say, I'm just not able to do it, the Lord understands that today. He understands our limitations. He understands the needs that we have. He understands our humanity. And so Paul was saying, if you're in Christ, old things are passed away. We used to be sinners. We used to be bound by the lust of the flesh, by the works of the flesh, by fornication and adultery and drunkenness and idolatry and unforgiveness and all of these things. But now in Christ, those things have been forgiven. Those things have God has changed our heart, and He changed our mind. And it wasn't because I tried so hard. It was a gift that the Lord Jesus transformed us when we were not able to change ourselves. Isn't that a message of wonderful hope this morning? Amen. Lord's still in the business of doing that. Salvation is about change this morning. And I'd like us, just as we look into the Word, to look into our own life. Because, see, salvation is not about coming to church service, okay? It's not about being here this morning. It's not about even just a lifestyle, that this is a lifestyle. True salvation is about something that God did in our hearts and it changes our life. Salvation will radically transform those that are bound in sin. Salvation will change. He said He would give us a new heart. He would give us a new mind. That wasn't through self-help. It wasn't by going and getting a book off the off a certain section in the Bible bookstore. It was something that Jesus Christ will come in and do. And so it lowers what salvation really is when people say, well, I've kind of made a fresh start and I've started going to church and I've started doing this and I've started doing that and I've... Do you know salvation is about what Christ has done? Salvation is about what He does in us. And I would encourage us this morning to remember that when you are tempted, when you are struggling, when you are wondering, am I good enough to be saved? No, the answer to that is no, none of us are. But yet, as you said, Sister Ronnie, it was the love of God. It was the love of Jesus Christ that came in and transformed my life. And because of what He did, I'm a different person today. And still yet, when I face Michael and I have my struggles, I can come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a greater power than what I have. I need, and you know, the Lord comes in and He does for me what I can't do for myself. That is what salvation is about. And so Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There is a radical transformation. It's not because you joined the church of your choice. It's not because you join this different group of people and that's their lifestyle and I'm leaving this lifestyle. Salvation is about a divine, miraculous work that God did in my life and in your life when we opened up our heart and say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. I can't make it on my own and I want You to change me. I don't like the way I'm thinking. I don't like the way I'm living. Lord, I'm not at peace. When you go to bed at night, and I've had some sleepless nights after I was saved, but when you stop and consider your own personal walk with God, can you say, Lord, I'm so glad I'm saved. I found the presence of the Lord in the sleepless nights is what enabled me to get up and face another day because I knew the Lord was still going to be there. Well, he went on to say then, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, do you realize that it was through Christ that Jesus reconciled us back to God? You know, reconciliation, have you ever had a broken relationship? Something broke the relationship. I imagine most everyone here has had a broken relationship of some kind or another. Do you realize that sin is what separates mankind from God? In the Garden of Eden, it was disobedience that separated Adam and Eve from God. They didn't have access to walk in the cool of the evening anymore. They didn't have that rest and peace that they one time did. And the law did not bring peace either. There was atonement for their sin, but it was only for the sin of the past. It did nothing to change their heart and their mind going forward. There was no power in the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and of goats. And yet Jesus Christ came to reconcile us to God. That I wasn't able to do it on my own merits, but through the merits of Jesus Christ, He came and He put His hand up there with God and He reached out to me and He brought us together through the atonement of His blood that He shed on the cross. The Lord wants us to be reconciled with Him today. That I don't have to say, well, God's just way out there. But through Jesus Christ, He has brought us into a relationship with God that we can have the virtue and the grace and the holiness of God flowing through us, not because of us, but because Jesus Christ reconciled us and brought us together into a condition of unity with God. And so, He restored a broken relationship. And do you know what it took for that rest, for that broken relationship to be restored? It took choice. Lord, I want to be restored. Do you know there are relationships that are broken this morning? And they're broken because of choice. Have you ever had a heart full of love for someone you just wanted to go up and put your arms around and say, you know what, everything's okay. I love you. It's all right. It's going to be fine. And yet, because of their choice, they have put distance. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do. And so because their choice has caused a relationship to be broken, and yet there is an avenue for restoration. This morning, there is an avenue for restoration of broken relationships with Jesus Christ. This morning, it doesn't matter how great the sin. It doesn't matter how badly you or I have failed. There is an avenue to be restored to God when we just open up our heart and choose to accept the love of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, it begins to flow in us and begins to change us. And that then brings us into relationship with God. And that's what Jesus did. And then Paul went on to say, and He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know the message of the gospel is a message of hope? The message of the gospel was one that He gave us a ministry. And what was it? It was one of reconciliation. It was a message to go let people know you don't have to stay estranged from God. You don't have to be bound by sin. Serving God is not bondage. Sin is bondage. And the message of the gospel is you can be free. You can be set free from yourself, from the darkness, from the bondage and the addictions and of self and of the flesh and of unforgiveness and of bitterness and of hatred and the things that just drive you to seek after the things of the world that never satisfy. The message of the gospel was that we don't have to live that way anymore. We can be reconciled to God. That is the essence of the gospel message this morning. It's one of hope, and it's one of love. It's one of restoration of broken relationships because of the love of God. And so Paul, as he spoke about Christ reconciling us to God, he said now He's also given us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Now listen to this next passage. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Isn't that beautiful? Do you realize that God sent His Son Jesus because of His love, so that we wouldn't perish, but that we would have everlasting life? And Jesus came, and it said here, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Would we like this morning if we made a list on the board here and on the wall and begin to just write down everybody's sins and transgressions of the past? I think some of us might be just like the Pharisees that brought the adulterous woman to Christ. As Jesus started writing, one by one, they headed out of there. I want to get out and run away from my shame. Do you know that Jesus did not come to beat us up over our past sins? He did not come to hold our transgressions against us. Jesus came and died that our transgressions would not be imputed to us anymore. He came to forgive us of our sin. He came to empower us that we don't have to go back to that sin. He came to give us grace that we can walk in newness of life, that we can walk reconciled to God. We don't need to live under the shadow of the past this morning. I know probably all of us have loved ones that have hurt us somewhere down the line because of their transgressions. But have not we all hurt other people in our lives? And if it had not been for the grace of God, would not we have hurt more people in our lives if it had not been that the Lord had forgiven us? And so then today there is a message of hope to those that are still walking in darkness, that there is a Savior that loves, there's a Savior that cares, there's a Savior that cries when you cry, and He hurts when you hurt, and He's there with His arms open wanting to just bring us into the fold of His refuge, knowing that He's forgiven us and He loves us and He doesn't want us to feel alone. He doesn't want us to feel like I can't change and so I'm looking for this and looking for that. There's a message of reconciliation and hope and transformation in Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. And this is the message that we have to take to the world. People come and say, what do you believe? What does your church teach? I want to summarize what the church of God, we're talking about God's church now. I want to tell you and encapsulate what it's about. It's about the gospel, which means good news. It's not about bondage. It's not about, well, if you do this, you can't. No, it's about liberation. It's about forgiveness. It's about redemption. It's about the Lord forgiving us and enabling us and setting us free from ourselves, from the things that bring darkness and the things that bring oppression. There is a place in Jesus Christ that there's light where there was darkness. There's hope where there was hopelessness. And even after we've been saved, when the enemy is battling so hard, we know where the answer is. We've already heard it this morning in the testimonies during prayer requests. It's in the love of God. It's in coming and recognizing that I do have something to praise God for because He's forgiven me and He's done so much. We have hope of heaven, and that gets us through those days that sometimes are so difficult. But this is the message to our lost loved ones, that we love them. If there's anyone here this morning that is struggling, you are loved. We care about you. And when you hurt, we are hurting with you. And we pray for you. And we want the best for you. But there is a Savior this morning that wants to just bring us in and reconcile us to Himself. And then He went on to say, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." We're ambassadors now. We're out taking this message of reconciliation. There's forgiveness. There's love. There's a place that you can be different because of the power of God. And so that's where now we are to go out and represent that message to the world. And He say, "We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled." He was entreating them, if you haven't entered in to this walk with God, He said, I entreat you. He did not force you, but I just entreat you this morning in the Spirit. Be reconciled. You don't have to live life alone. We were created with a spirit. We were created with a soul, and it's never satisfied unless we have the presence of the Creator within us. And that only happens by our choice. And so Paul was saying, I just beg of you, I entreat you, be reconciled to God. And he went on to say, "For He hath made Him," oh, thank God, "He hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Do you realize that's beautiful? That scripture has been misinterpreted and mistaught many times. Jesus did not sin. Jesus was not on the cross and have our sin on Him such that God turned His back on Him because of that. If I watch my son suffering, I want to help him. I'm going to have to turn my head too. The reason Jesus said became sin, what that means is He became a sacrifice for sin. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Because when Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, through that atonement was able to do what the blood of bulls and of goats could not do. Not only did the blood of Jesus Christ forgive us of our transgressions, it gave us the ability and power to go and sin no more and walk in newness of life and do what we cannot do in our own strength. He became sin for us. He became a sacrifice. This morning, wherever you are in your personal walk this morning, saved, unsaved, disillusioned, backslidden, or if you're on the mountaintop this morning, Jesus took your sin. He took your failure. He took the things that you did that He knew was wrong, and He said, I love you, and I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to bear the punishment for you, and I'm going to shed my blood that you can have a better life. This morning, there's a better life for each and every one if they would just be reconciled to Jesus Christ. And we don't have to be any more alienated from God. He said that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you know that's what holiness is? You know, holiness is not just about a lifestyle. If you try to live a lifestyle of holiness without a change of heart, it will be bondage. So people that talk about rules and regulations of the church, that's bondage. Holiness is something that is a condition of my heart. And it is the righteousness of God. It's not because I'm so good or you're so good. It's because we've been reconciled to God. And now through the power of Jesus Christ, if you will just allow me, I want to give the Lord credit for something and glory here. I'm not lifting myself up here, but on the way to service this morning, I was meditating on the message, and I was thinking about something that happened recently that I thought, you know, if this would have happened 20 or 30 years ago, it would have devastated me. And I thought, now it's like, it's God's. You know, someone didn't do right to me, and it would have devastated me, even in my ministry. It would have really hurt me, and it could have damaged me. And I thought, now it's like, Lord, I forgive him. It's okay. It's all right. And I thought, how did that happen? It's because of Christ. It wasn't because I was so good, but it was because Jesus did something in my heart and in my mind that I wouldn't have been able to do for myself. Do you know that's how we become the righteousness of God in Him? All right, now, that brings us to what we've written on the board now. I said to understand that these next two verses, I had to go back and understand where it was coming from. So He said, we then, as workers together... Now, we're not going to read all of chapter 6, okay? I think we're going to read the first two verses. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in Him. What are we workers together in? We're workers together sharing this message of reconciliation. We're workers together of the grace of God. And He said, and we beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, there is an avenue that has been opened of reconciliation. There's a door that Jesus opened for us to come and walk in newness of life. And Paul was entreating Him. He said, don't receive it in vain. Don't ignore the mercy of God. Don't walk away from this door that has been opened, because when pardon is offered and we don't receive it, we're going to continue in the life that we were. And we're going to be lost. We're going to be left without hope. But it is when we accept the grace that God has offered. Are we willing to accept His grace this morning? Are we willing to accept what He has offered to us? Well, if the invitation of God's love and mercy is ignored, the soul will stay lost. And so Paul was saying, I just beseech you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. An offering was made, and it was given for us, but it's up to us to receive it this morning. It's up to us to accept it. If we joy, hope, comfort, the fruit of the Spirit, that is wonderful things. How do we get that? By opening up our heart in accepting the grace that God wants to give us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, not concluding the chapter, but the concluding verse that we will end with today, he said, "For he hath said," and he was quoting the prophet Isaiah. He said, "For he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation." What he was referencing was that the Jews had been looking for a Messiah. They had been looking for someone to liberate them. They had been looking for another day. And Paul was sharing with them, this is that day. This is the Messiah that Isaiah prophesied about. He said, there is a time accepted. That is this day that Christ has offered mercy. This is the day that we have access to liberty. This is the day that we have access to freedom. And this is the gospel dispensation. This is the time to be saved. We probably all heard messages on now is the day of salvation. But do you know why now is the day of salvation? It's because now is the accepted time. This is the dispensation of grace. We are not under the law anymore this morning. We're not under the law. And there are those that are still looking for another age to come. One of the fallacies of the millennial reign is that there will be another age to come. And through that, although there might be a tribulation, whether they believe in pre or post-tribulation, there is somewhere in there an avenue for the unrighteous to get back to God. But that day will never come. When Jesus comes back, he's going to take us to the judgment. And he said, now is the accepted time. This is the time. This is the age. This is the dispensation that we have to make our peace with God and to be saved. For many, see, tomorrow may not come. And that's why now is the day. It is the age. This is the gospel age. I look not for another age to come. When another time comes, it's going to be the judgment. But now, knowing the Lord has offered salvation, Paul was encouraging them, don't ignore it. Don't go on your way. But this is the day to receive the promises of the Savior. And what was that promise? When Jesus stood up in Luke 4:18 and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." What did he come to do? He came to deliver the captive. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to heal the brokenhearted. When can we access that? Now is the accepted time. Now is the time that we can come to the Messiah and be reconciled and ministered to and healed in our spirit. So putting off business with God is so dangerous. It's so dangerous this morning to say, well, maybe tomorrow. I know I've shared some, but I've sat by people that were dying that had put off their salvation so long, they just couldn't bring themselves to say, "Yes, Lord, I accept." That's all they would have had to do. And yet they had rejected that day of salvation for so long, and they woke up in eternity. That's why Paul said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, because tomorrow may not come. To each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest this morning, we have no assurance of tomorrow. But we have a bright hope in Jesus Christ. Playing church is not enough. Dressing up isn't enough this morning. Acting like everything's good, it's not enough. We all know where we are with God this morning. And it's going to take a real conversion experience. Do you have that this morning? You don't have to answer me. But have you had that transformation in your life that you're not just going part way anymore, but I have been changed by the power of God. It will change your life. It will change your relationship. It will change your marriage. It will change your perspectives. And you think, I just don't know how. I really don't know how it happens either. But I know it does, because Christ reconciled us to God. Today, now, is the accepted time. If there's anyone here this morning, I remember, and Chelsea, I'm going to quote you again if it's all right. I remember last week or a couple weeks ago when Sister Chelsea shared her testimony, when she first started coming to service and then the Lord started dealing with her, she said, I didn't even really understand what the altar was all about. She said, I didn't understand and I didn't... Can I explain it this morning as we close? We have a place that, whether it's a chair or an altar, a place just to say that if the Lord's talking to your heart and you feel that draw and you get a little uncomfortable and you feel like everybody's looking at you, that's conviction. And when the preacher's preaching, it's like he looked at me. I'm looking at everybody here this morning. I'm not preaching at anybody. But there's a wonderful message of reconciliation and forgiveness. Folks, we don't have the luxury to keep playing church. Just going along on the edge, kind of skirting, getting by. There's troublesome days coming ahead of us, and I want to be in the center of God's will, washed in the blood of Jesus. And so the altar is a place that if you feel, if the Lord's talking to your heart, it's just a place to come and pray. And have someone pray with you. There's power in the agreement of prayer. You can pray at your seat, but there is also power in an agreement of prayer. And that's what the altar is. When we stand, whether it's here or in camp meeting, and we say, let's stand and sing a song. If anybody wants to pray, you can come to the altar. All that is an invitation, as Paul was inviting them. I come and be reconciled to God. And maybe you're saved, but if you're struggling, you need to tap into that grace. It's like you can come and pray. It's not a mystery. There's nothing foreign or strange that's going to happen. But it's a place to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I come and I humble myself. And I humble myself before you. And I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. But Lord, it's that humility. And you know what happens if you feel the Lord talking to your heart? When you take that first step, that's the hardest one to take, is that first step. And so I beseech you this morning to be reconciled to God. If you have not made a firm stand and allowed the Lord to transform you, that you can say, I'm a new creature. Or have you just been kind of transitioning in the old life? The Lord wants to do something for us. Not a mixed experience, not double-minded, but now is the accepted time. This was what the prophecy was about, that this is the age, and today is a day of salvation. Amen.